So I'm going to read today from Romans chapter 12, starting from verses 1 and 2, and then going on to 9 to 13. And that's on page 1139 of the Bibles. So if you can get a copy, it might be quite useful as I go through the talk. So that's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And then moving on to verses 9 to 13. Love. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So I estimate I might have about 10 minutes on the outside before colouring gets a little bit boring at the back. So bear with me. I'm going to really be concentrating on verses 1 and 2 of the Romans passage that I've just read. At this point in the letter to the Roman church, Paul is in full flow. He spent the first part of his letter to the Roman church focusing on the character of God, God's love, his mercy, and his faithfulness. And now, he nears the end of the letter and sets a challenge for the church in Rome. This is not any challenge. Paul sets the bar high, as we could expect him to, in terms of our response to God's love and grace. He asks us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. The whole of our bodies, not just what we do on a Sunday morning, not just those parts of our lives that are the most comfortable, but everything. And no, it's not just a one-off offering either. It's a living sacrifice. So for as long as we're living, he's saying, let's offer and re-offer our lives up to God. Note, Paul also confirms this is a spiritual act of worship. Worship to God is not only when we sing songs, although lovely and wonderful, but should comprise the whole of our lives. So here's a question for each one of us today. Are we living authentic Christian lives, which we can confidently say is an act of worship to God? To help us consider this question, Paul elaborates on what it looks like to offer up our lives as living sacrifices in the rest of chapter 12. And we read those verses 9 to 13 that give us some examples. So love must be sincere, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honour one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, be patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people in need. And of course, this isn't the only illustration of what fruits of the Spirit look like. In other parts of the New Testament also, we see other illustrations. So the bar is set really quite high. So do we feel discouraged when we read this today, or do we feel empowered? Well, I hope that we feel empowered. What God doesn't do is give us a big shopping list of things that we've got to achieve to become the ultimate Christian and let us get on with it. He knows we can't achieve it ourselves. And that's why, by Jesus' death for us, he's paid the ultimate price once and for all. We can approach that throne of grace with confidence, knowing that we're children of God, knowing that we've been saved. And I think it's really important for us to remember there's nothing that we can do to make God love us anymore. He loves us exactly as we are. Why then is it so important to offer our bodies as living sacrifices? Note, Paul's not politely asking them to consider offering their bodies as an option. He's saying, he's urging us to do so. Do it, go on. He reminds me here of of a parent, a proud parent at a children's sports day, urging children on to win the race. And actually, it reminds me that in Philippians 3, he actually referred to the Christian life as a spiritual walk, as a race. It says, and I'll don't turn to this, I'll just read it out. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And so we're also called, aren't we, to run that spiritual race, run it towards God. Philip Yancey said something like, God accepts us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. He accepts us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. You see, we're made to be in a close relationship with God, and so it's kind of cyclical. The more we're prepared to offer our lives up to God, the more we get to know him, the more confident we are in our person as a child of God. And the more we know that, the more bowled over we are by God's love and his grace and his mercy. And the more we want to offer ourselves to God to please him. Also, as individuals, the more we allow God to work in our lives, the more that we know, we get confidence in our status as children of God and the gifts that he's given us, and it enables those gifts to have fruition in our lives and grow. This is why Paul says that in doing this, we'll know God's will, his good, pleasing and perfect will, because we were designed, we were made to have a relationship with God, a close one in communion with him as we fulfill his tailor-made plans for our lives. So let's feel empowered that we worship a big and a perfect God, a God who is urging us on to be the best, to best we can be, to the people that we were designed to be. A God who not only cheers us on from the sidelines, but is actually running that race with us. A God who wants to be intricately involved in our lives, who wants to carry us when things get tough. He wants to celebrate with us in the good times. Note though, in verse 2, let's move on to that. Paul emphasises the need for us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Well, why is that so important? The mind's so powerful, isn't it? And what can start as a thought can end up shaping character and behaviour. J. John says, thoughts become actions, actions habits, and habits shape character. What might it be? Well, it might be just putting something more important, something that's driving you to put something else more important than the Lord. It might be money, security, material wealth, the need for people to give you praise rather than God. It might be a difficult habit. It might be past hurts and experiences that have not yet been dealt with and which get in the way or change the way that we view things. And God wants us to help us deal with these things because he loves us too much to leave us like it. The reason why I chose this passage was actually verse 2 has been my single most repeated prayer over the last couple of years myself. And I've found the power of that prayer in my own life. Note, Paul's not saying, ask God and see if he will transform your mind. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says that if you ask it and you genuinely want to be more aligned with God, then he will renew your mind. And that's a great hope and an encouragement for us today. So what in our lives are areas that we need transformed by the renewing of our minds? And where do we need God to help us do that? In some cases, it might be really obvious in our own lives, and I think it's something for each of us to ask ourselves individually. It might be really obvious, but we know that it's a painful and a difficult issue, and we can't simply click our fingers and hand that over to God. It's much more complicated than that. But let's start taking steps towards God to allow him to penetrate perhaps those areas of our lives which we've been guilty of holding back from him in the past. Because we can trust God, can't we? We can trust him to know and understand us. We can trust him to be gentle with us. And if we don't know the areas of our lives that need to be transformed, then we can ask him and he'll tell us. The Psalms say God provides God's word provides a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Isn't it wonderful? God doesn't show us the whole of the path that we have to take in order to become like Christ. That would be quite discouraging. But he shows us the next portion of the path. He shows us where we are and where we need to go next. And when we get there, he then says, okay, well done. Let me show you the next part of the path. He's a gentle God and he's patient with us. It's important, isn't it? Because we're meant to know God's freedom in our lives, knowing that we're children of God, knowing that God's done it all and he loves us, he's created us, he's got a plan for our lives. All of that brings great freedom. And yet we get bogged down, don't we, by things that happen. The attitudes and baggage in our lives that just weigh us down. So let's think in our own lives. What can we do? Where do we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds? And let's offer this up to God. And in all of these things, let's hold on to hope. In Romans chapter 12, at verse 12, Paul asks the Roman church to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Hope is the knowledge of who we are as God's children and heirs. Hope is in the knowledge of God, the extent of God's love for us. Hope is in the knowledge that God holds all things together, that he hears our prayers and he wants the best for us. Hope is in God's promise that when our time on this earth is over, we'll be spending eternal life with him. Eternal life, at Revelation says, there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That's great hope, isn't it? We've got a great hope of God of hope, and we can hold on to that no matter where we are. So to conclude, let us individually consider the following questions for ourselves. Am I running the spiritual race that God's got planned for me? Or have I dropped off? Am I running the race with focus or determination? Or have I slowed down and been bogged down with heavy loads and obstacles in my way? God wants to help deal with those obstacles. He wants to race with you and meet them with you. Am I aware of God running beside me, encouraging me on? Or have I been trying to go it alone for some time? We can't do things in our own power. We need the Lord's help. I don't know if you care much for making New Year's resolutions, but as we approach this new year, let's ask God to reveal to us afresh what he wants to do in our lives, the parts of our lives that he wants to shed light on, with a view to us becoming more re-energized and more free to pick up pace in our spiritual race towards God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you're a big and a merciful God. We thank you that you love us so much. And yet you don't want to leave us as we are. Father, that as we're children of God, we be transformed. We're slowly being transformed more like Christ. Father, show us those areas of our lives that are perhaps dark and dirty where you want to shed your light. We pray we may be open to it and we may hear you. In Jesus' name, amen.